Okay. Good evening, all. I hope you're enjoying the sun and the wind and the rain and the British climate, because it helps farmers, but it depends which order we get it in. So we're getting towards July, so I presume there's going to be some typhoons coming in. Nasties. But anyway, we'll start this resources scrutiny committee meeting. First of all, could I ask, have we all looked at the minutes of the 5th of March 2025?
Move to approve, Mr.
Second.
All happy with that? Okay, I've got a set to sign. Right in front of me. Apologies. There you go. And item number two, apologies.
Councillor Leeson substituted by Councillor McEwen, and Councillor Loughran substituted by Councillor Hobbs. Sorry.
What did you say?
I said Hobbs. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm not saying anything. We've got no questions for public question time, no councillor session, no called in items either. So, members' items are nil as well. Could we move on to item number seven, please, which is officers' reports? And the first one is the business planning report by the head of Law and Governance will take this one. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the annual scrutiny business report. We report it to Council every year. We've taken on board some comments made following last year's report. We used to do three separate reports for each scrutiny, and there wasn't much information in it, and I think members just wanted it completing a bit more of a reflection. So what we've intended to do this year is we put more detail in, we described more holistically what the work of scrutiny is, how it's involved in the council. We've also then broken down the individual tasks that each scrutiny committee did. So in the appendix to the report, we've come up with one scrutiny report. It sets out a summary of business that was conducted last year. So it's here for noting, and also any comments you wish to make before we report it to council.
Okay. We'll go through this page by page. If anyone wants to make a comment or ask a question, we'll do it that way. So page three is just the start of the report. Page four, the same as is page five. Page six is the annual scrutiny business report. Does anyone want to make a comment on page six? On page seven? Page eight? And that's from 5.8 to 5.10 is the part of the report that is reflecting what happens with resources scrutiny. No? Okay, page nine, again that's community wellbeing, and the future work programme is at 5.20, and we will of course be looking at that at the further down the agenda.
I've got a question for page nine.
Page nine, excellent.
Yeah. 5.18. Apparently, the county cabinet has discussed this topic, so I would like to know who has to do that.
I'm on the task and finish group. I haven't heard that the county council
yet. Yeah, but the cabinet, I was at the parish meeting last week where the county councillor was, and he said at the cabinet they discussed that, and I looked at the website.
It is mandatory. The government of, I think the previous government set out all councils had to do this food waste collection.
Yeah, but I thought it was part of the board task.
Well, I think it is because we do waste collection.
Yeah.
But I think then we may, I'm not absolutely sure, but I think you may be working in partnership with the county. I'm not absolutely sure of the detail of that, because all I've been discussing, or we've been discussing with officers, is how they're going to collect it, what progress they've made, they've purchased the bins. So it all seems to be going ahead.
Yeah, but
it's
just a question,
who is
doing what? That's all I
think. Do you want to clarify the situation,
yeah,
Chris?
We'll be collecting it. We've had the grant funding to buy the bins. We've had some revenue funding to help us get it set up.
Yeah.
So it'll be a Borough Council function.
Yeah.
The county are interested from the perspective of doing it. I don't know if they're part of the end process. We're going to do the digester and what have you, but we'll be doing the collection and the process.
Okay, so they're doing the first part, and then we're doing our part of bin collection.
Ourselves, what have you, now we take it to them.
Okay.
We lost the recycling credits because the county took money out of us, but it is what it is.
Okay.
So very quickly, first of all, this is something for the community well-being,
yeah, exactly,
scrutiny. Secondly, the county is the disposal authority. And thirdly, we're coming up to local government disorganisation, so goodness only knows who's going to collect it and how it's going to work, because this is one of the conundrums that we're going to find as we go forward. So
okay.
It is really important, and this is why we've got this scrutiny report in front of us. It's really important that as councillors we engage quite often, I think, on a non-political basis to work out what's going to happen in the future for our residents. It's not a good place to be in. Okay, so we've done page 9. Oh, Ian, did you want to say something?
I was just saying, if you got to the end of that, if the committee are happy to approve it, that will go to council and do right.
Okay.
Move to note and approve, Mr. Chairman.
Second. All in favour? Thank you. So we'll move on to the complaints monitoring. And yet again, it's Ian. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So again, this is an annual report, monitoring report on the corporate complaints procedure. It sets out the fact that we've got a two-stage corporate complaints procedure, which is considered good practice by the Ombudsman. The first stage would be a complaint directly to the relevant department for them to try and resolve in that first stage. And if the complainant is still unsatisfied, they have a right to have it reviewed by a senior manager at stage 2. And if they stay unsatisfied, stage 3 would be going to the independent ombudsman. So most contacts with the council wouldn't be classed as complaints. We do try and resolve issues as service requests, so they never tend to make it as far as we resolve most issues without it turning into a formal complaint. But it's right that we have a process that if people are unsatisfied, they can raise these complaints formally. So looking at the breakdown of complaints from last year compared to the year before, we have had a significant reduction in the number of complaints from last year compared to the year before. It was 43 in 23-24 and 19 last year, so that's a significant reduction, and also a significant reduction in stage 2 complaints, also down from 14 to 8 complaints. It can be said that the vast majority of complaints that reach stage 2 were mainly challenges to the decisions actually made by the council rather than complaints about the way we handled complaints. So, for example, if someone wasn't happy with a planning decision, they sought to escalate and challenge it to stage 2 with the corporate complaints procedure rather than the complaints about the way it was actually handled. The local government ombudsman last year did introduce a new corporate complaints handling code, and one of the recommendations is that we now monitor response times to complaints. complaints. So the report, a new entry to the report this year, as we try to reflect our response times compared to our targets. You see at 5.1.6 that for stage one complaints, we actually have responded within target. And the next paragraph, stage two complaints, we're just outside the target, but close to it, so there's some room for improvement there. But you would expect stage two complaints to consist of the more complicated complaints, so there is obviously a reason why some take a bit longer to respond to. And finally, if things do escalate to local government ombudsman, the ombudsman will issue decisions which go onto the website, and you can see from the figures that there was 5 complaints last year compared to 11 complaints to the ombudsman the year before, and none of those cases the ombudsman found the council at fault, so no fault for the council in any of those cases that were brought to the ombudsman. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ian.
Chair, is the 21 days average response on stage 2 in addition to the 14 days on stage 1?
Yeah, because someone has to commence the stage 2, so if you're not happy with the stage 1,
yeah,
you have to pass
so
a complaint.
So, anything that gets through to stage 2 has, on average, done 35 days, 14 days.
But it depends how long it took to respond to stage 1.
Well, the average for stage 1 is 14. And it has to go through stage 1 before it can get through stage 2.
I mean, on a case-by-case basis, each one.
No, I was just looking at the averages.
Okay. It's nice to see the complaints have come down. If we had no complaints, I think we'd wonder what's been going on, because an organisation the size of the Borough Council will always have some complaints, but it's heartening to see the numbers going down. Any more questions on the report?
Just a quick one. So, because quite a lot of these relate to planning and development, which I kind of feel is probably inevitable, isn't it? Because most people have quite strong views if they're planning applications or ones they're involved in aren't necessarily going the way that they'd like to. Some of these are obviously saying there's no investigation because there's an appeals process as part of planning, which we know there's like planning appeals processes in there that can then go to the planning inspectorate. Do we feel like the information that we have available to the public is really accessible and kind of clear to them about the process post planning decision? And if we kind of had something a bit clearer, do you think the number of complaints would come down? In terms of what, when you get an outcome of the planning decision, instead of going through the corporate complaints process, because there is a planning appeal process, do we feel like the public are clear enough about the distinctions?
It's a question. When you refuse planning permission, details of how you can deal with the information provided, but whether we're hitting the right mark, I can't answer.
I wonder if maybe that's something that we can ask through economic development and planning scrutiny about, like the information available to the public, because if we're still getting like, it's still the highest volume, isn't it, of complaints out of all of our departments, so I wonder if maybe there's something we can do to help the public a bit more understand their next steps, rather than just trying to, maybe they're trying to scattergun all our complaint processes, maybe that's what's happening, but I wonder if there's something we can maybe do to help them a bit more.
I can get information on what information we provide to members.
It'd be good to know, the reading age of the information we provide. So I often find that when you put some of our information to the public through like a reading age monitor, it comes up like a reading age of 15, but 20% of the public have a reading age of 9 years old or younger. So I do wonder if maybe we can have some alternative formats of some of our information that we give to them, just so they're really clear about next steps or something of that nature.
I'll put a question to the
Chair. Is there a figure on how people would initiate a complaint using the planning complaints procedure and at the same time initiating the local government, social care, ombudsman complaints? If you see what I mean, is what you mentioned about scattergun.
Yeah,
the hoaches, whether that would be
significant.
If people are actually using both
I think the question really, Ian, is it transparent the way that people put complaints forwards for whether it be planning or social care and health? Because I presume it goes through the website. And I've had people who say, how can I complain? Now that I think we agreed and the council agreed that complaints wouldn't go to the chief executive, there is a different process. So is that transparent?
The process is on the website. So yeah, and we receive complaints centrally, so there is consistency in where we receive them and how we put it out to the relevant departments.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, no, because my question was about how for the user of the complaints procedures, they initiate one and simultaneously initiate the other, particularly related to planning.
We just wouldn't be able to find out. It is a lot easier to do a complaint to the council than go to the planning inspector. So sometimes people do will try it on.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Now, obviously, you may have covered this, but I apologise if I've missed it. The complaints are pretty much halved from last year to this year. What would you put that down to? Is it a better process within the individual sort of areas of the council, the way it's being handled, the staffing? To people using the services?
I don't have that intelligence. We just centrally administer the receipts and the response times, so the intelligence on what was the nature of the complaints is held by each department.
So there's no specific thing that has made those complaints or created half that level of complaints from last year to this year?
I couldn't tell you just based on.
Okay, any more questions, observations? No? Right, so we'll move on now, please, to...
Recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry?
Recommendation report we noted.
Well done. Seconded. Brendan McEwen. All in favour? Thank you. And we will now move on to agenda item 7C. Judith, welcome to the table.
So this is the MP performance report, setting out progress in the delivery of the priority delivery plans and the key performance indicators. Now the current report covers everything, all four of the council's priorities, but the only ones that are relevant to this committee of final attention the council's are the ones highlighted in the yellow in the cover of the book. Can I return you to appendix 1C first, and we can cover the actions relating to...
Could we have page numbers?
Page 22. So this sets out that there were three actions due to be delivered across the year for climate change. Two of those have been completed in full, and one of those is listed behind schedule. The one that's slipped is recruitment to climate change officer posts. They're in the process of being established, but we've not yet gone out to work.
Judith, 2 seconds.
I just wondered why there was obviously some delay, because the symbol means it's greater than 3 months behind schedule. Seems a long time.
I think there was just a delay in putting the job description together. They then have to go through an evaluation process, and we've also had to make sure that the budget's there, and there have been some issues in resolving those aspects of those. But hopefully that will move forward shortly.
Okay, any other questions on that?
If we move on then to page 24, that's the start of the priority delivery plan for the council. And you'll see on that one that initially there were some 17 actions. 10 of those have been completed in full. 3 of them are on target, it's almost there. 2 are split slightly and 2 are no longer applicable. And I'll explain those 2 in a minute.
I think the things that really to note there in terms of success is, I know you've referenced it a number of meetings recently, and is the delivery of the account. We've now managed to catch up with all three sets of accounts, actually, that's a significant achievement in the year. We've also made progress around transformation in our digital strategies, but as you will see, that's where some of the not applicable scoring now. Because of LGR, we've now taken a bit of a pause on doing those next steps because we're waiting to assess the work that's going to fall to us to prepare for local government organisation and actually whether it's going to be worth our while delivering our transformation as originally planned. So we're looking at that at the moment. In terms of the actions that have slipped slightly, there are two of those. One of those is the installation of new switches. We've done all the preparation work for that. I mean, actually, I can't wait to finish. I mean, in the report it says we were hoping to do that in early May. I can confirm we've now deferred that until later in July. We've had a few technical issues, we've resolved those, but we're now looking at until the by-election's been completed, just to make sure that we don't cause any problems for that.
That's page three. Can I just stop you there and ask if anyone's got anything to say about those two pages, because we have brought it up. Brendan?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Given my naivety, but in the context of switches, what does it mean?
They're part of our technical infrastructure. Everything that our network runs on, they're like a key component of that. And there are two elements of the work. We've got like a core element, which is the main infrastructure, and then there's a more localised one. Don't ask me to explain it any more than that. if anyone's seen them, they are sort of kind of located in rather technical looking cabinets.
And while we are just going back to these pages, and you mentioned closure of the accounts, and it is it's been a long time coming, but it's nice to know that we have actually got them. The question really for me is, have you started the next year's, Chris?
So, yeah, I can confirm that we have an out-term position review this week, which is the earliest we've had out-term in 7 years, I think it is, at this council. And our statement from council, we are entering our final review process at this moment in time, which is the earliest out-term, I think, in 5 years since the system implementation started. So we are doing extremely well, considering the starting point we had a couple of years ago. That's entirely thanks to the work of Emma and the wider finance team. They've really done well to catch up so many years' work in such a short length of time.
Can I?
Thank you, Joe. It really does need emphasising that the finance team have done a fantastic job. It's been a Herculean task, as I said before. And we have thanked them before as well in this committee and council for the amount of work which they've put into doing this. It's a one hell of an achievement, actually, to get ourselves up to date with our accounts, which is amazing. Not all councillors are like that by any means in this country.
Well, I just wanted to thank them because obviously they've done a brilliant job, and you know, the last resource seems to be down exactly. It's quite disastrous, really. And yeah, it's great to hear you've done so much.
Could we reserve the thanks until after the council or the committee meeting tomorrow, please?
I think we can sort of just say as a,
it looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah,
we've
got to look at the information we've had put in front of us, and as far as I can see, it's looking a much better story than we've had in the past. So. Dependent upon what's said in the accounts committee, can you please pass on to the finance team that we do appreciate that they've got up to this point. Okay, anything else on those?
Just one question mark. Based on this speedy closure of the accounts, does that mean we're now fully resourced in the finance team?
No, not fully resourced. Also, I'm sure you'll ask me, are we planning to go through the audit of these accounts, or am I going to take the backstop dispensation again? That's a big call we'll need to make corporately. Again, as we always say, big amounts of regeneration schemes, set up to resource this scale of things, and, you know, housing as well, and that seems to be quite difficult to get. So it's been good news to get it this far, but we're not sure yet if we're going to go through the audits or not, and that's the sadness. We could do it, but we'd have to make a choice of not doing something else. I'd like to do it. You know, the team have done really, really well. I'd really like to start that turnaround and working with the Zets on it. But we'll see what court will be the decisions.
Okay. Right, do you want to carry on, Julie?
So moving on to page 27, the other item that's slipped is the draft specification for the new system for corporate assets. I can upload it further to the comment in there. In actual fact, it's been delayed partly due to capacity and partly because they haven't secured the funding. We've now done a prioritisation of the IT systems that are going to be replaced in the next 2-3 years, and that one hasn't made the list. There are other systems that are more pressing that we've chosen to prioritise, so that one won't be moving forward.
Okay.
When you say in 2-3 years, we might not be there.
This is why we were going to prioritise the systems anyway, but we've very much had that in mind, and the ones that we're choosing to replace are the ones that won't be supported. So if we did nothing, they would become a security risk to us, so we need to address those. And partly they are about preparing the councils appropriately for the government reorganisation.
Yeah.
So, but I say we are being very selective there about those types of projects and what we want that will protect us.
Okay, moving on.
So if we move on then to the next set of pages, this sets out our performance across the key performance indicators. And as you will see, 9 of them have exceeded target, 1 was on target, and then we've had 2 that have slipped slightly, and 1 that's not a triple. So if I pick the ones that haven't hit target, the first one of those was around the freedom of information request, and that was due to some capacity issues within the team during the year. And then the other one was around the centre building staff are coming fire, which is this has been identified as part of a wide review of our compliance for our corporate assets, and this one is now being prioritised to address this piece of work.
Okay. Any questions?
I think fire is one is such quite important. So who usually does it?
It forced the corporate assets team to do that. I can't be any more specific than that. I say it's the corporate assets team responsibility.
Yeah.
I say there's been a wide review of compliance issues, and this is one of a number of areas that have been identified that we're not quite where we should be, and that work has now been prioritised. They have actually been given some additional resource to help them.
Right.
To
so it's been started.
Whether that particular one, I think they were working on commissioning somebody to come in and do that piece of work. They've actually done the work, I'm not sure. But certainly the commissioning of that piece of work has started.
Can I just say that we did discuss this at the pre-meeting, with the chairman's pre-meeting. I'm really quite concerned that if this goes through this committee without us making a comment, if we, bearing in mind that the Grenfell and the way we've had tragedies in the past, if we as a committee just let this slip through saying, oh yeah, they're just starting to commission something, I think we ought as a committee just write to the chief executive and the cabinet member, the relevant cabinet member, and say that we are concerned. And it's been brought up by members of the committee that we are quite concerned about this, and it should be given the highest priority. Does that resonate with members?
Yes. Could I ask who the head of department is that's responsible for this?
I should know.
I'm
sorry?
Neville Samrat, the head of housing and corporate assets.
Right. Could we ask that the chief executive make sure that the responsible officer is aware of his responsibilities, please?
The
as it's 100% not being done.
Yeah. It's not even a little bit not being done, it's 100%. The figures there are quite atrocious, and if something, if we had some corporate responsibility as a committee, this is going to be one of them. Could you put some words together tomorrow and we'll send them from me on behalf of the committee? And I'll speak to you about this outside of the room. Okay.
Chair, can we ask the head of the department to report back to us? Is that possible?
Anything's possible.
I totally agree with everybody else. The budget was allocated mid-March. Supposed to start in quarter one or two, but we're coming up to the end of quarter one, which I think is next week. But yet we don't have any information on what's being done. Presumably it's a rolling process, i.e. you don't do all the assets every year. There are certain assets that are done this year, certain assets that are done next year, and vice versa. But with the possible damage to property and assets, but also to potential persons, I must admit it was one of the things that I noticed when I read through the report first time, and it was a concern.
Okay. So, sorry to be slightly alarmist, but I think it does warrant it. Okay, do you want to? Who? Sorry, Chris.
I think we're supposed to do more every year. Well, the fire safety stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Valuations, like on a cycle, health and safety stuff. I think are supposed to do every year. I mean, I'm not an expert in this field, clearly.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it's even more important.
Yeah, I think that's.
Fire is supposed to be done every year.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole of this building should have been done.
And any other buildings
exactly.
We have an interest in.
So I think support what Jennifer said there, and then we need the guy responsible to report to us
yeah.
at the next meeting.
We need a report back from the chief exec and the head of.
Yeah, next meeting.
Okay, did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay, thank
you. Sorry, Chair. With that in mind, the next meeting isn't until
September.
We're towards the end of the second quarter.
I think there's enough concern in the room that we ask for an emailed response to all members.
Personally, I would like to know where we are today, to the time of this meeting. What has been done and what the progress is, and then what's the projected progress by the end of quarter two.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for your input on that. And moving along, committee item 7D, the work programme.
Report to be noted, Mr. Chairman.
I think before we note the report, this is the previous one.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's very good, isn't he? He's very good. I thought you were just getting rid of the next one. Okay. So all those in favour of the report? Okay. Or noting the report? Yeah. Thank you. And we move on to the work programme. I did ask, and it's been done today. We've got a list of what goes on to the committee. Has everyone got a copy of this list? Okay. So it's really a matter of filling in with anything else that members want. Now, in light of the local government disorganisation, I don't know whether, Judith, you want to say anything about the work programme to scrutinise that.
Well, what we've been proposing to do would be to bring an update to each meeting on where we're at. And the next one will be quite timely because it will be short before we have to make the submission. What we're also planning on doing is looking at two of the other items that are on the agenda as well around translation and shared services in the context of the local government reorganisation. So at the next meeting, we propose to do an update on both of those to give you a sense of the direction of travel on those.
Sensible. You agree with that? Okay. Emma?
So we've got obviously quite a few future items there, and then we've got what I would call like our kind of base work programme for scrutiny. I'd be quite interested, like you've just kind of explained, Judith, of kind of seeing a version of this with some of these items slotted into the meetings, because I feel like some of these have been future items for some time, some are new and emerging. So we've kind of had the Section 106 unallocated money for the last couple of meetings as like a future item, but not slotted in,
yeah.
For example, into a future dated meeting in terms of the work plan. So I think great to kind of hear we're going to get an update on local government reorganisation every quarterly meeting. I think that's good. If we're going to have transformation and shared services in September, then maybe we need to look at December and what from this can then be slotted into December. Because I'm always very conscious that like future dated items are a bit like a little boot into the tall grass if we're not quite on them. So I do think it'd be good to kind of slot some of these in, certainly between now and September, so that when this comes back in September, we've got some of those future dated items against some of those future meeting dates, just to make sure that we know that they're going to be coming to scrutiny rather than remaining future.
Can I therefore suggest that we go onto the back page and just go through those items, future items. Straight away, it says local plan. For me, I'm not sure whether it's this committee or planning and economy.
Economic development, that one.
Yeah, so we just take that one out.
Unless there's any resource implications, I would assume. So
yeah.
Staffing.
So, IT projects. I know we've got a lot of switches round and about.
We have a switch update in there.
In reality, that sits within the transformation work stream to a degree. So, I say we'll give you an update to the next meeting about what our intentions are, and I'll include that an update on what IT projects that we're planning on doing.
Okay. Approval of business cases. Chris?
I bring them along. That's not ad hoc. With LGR and everything else, as you can see, we've kind of paused new projects, new development right now. Since purchasing this building, we haven't really moved on that. There is one thing I would like to add to this list that's not there. Don't know if you want to finish this.
We'll get to the end and then. So we do definitely want approval of business cases, and they'll be brought to, as you say, on an ad hoc basis when they turn up.
Yeah.
Have you any thoughts on the 106?
So we were discussing where we, so, and I know that Brendan has strong views on this also, we're a bit like in pairs, but obviously we'd agreed, hadn't we, previously, that any unallocated Section 106 money is for the purview of resources, future Section 106 approvals as part of the planning process sits within economic development and planning. So in terms of some of those Section 106 monies, we'd sort of had a promise, so to speak, of a list of the unallocated Section 106 monies, so we could track and make sure that everything is spent within the time frame and that those applications were going in, and we have this new process by which people can apply for those monies that would then come as part of resources for the historic funds and then economic planning for future funds. So I guess that's something that I feel we probably should have on the agenda for each meeting, because we'd start to then see a report of that coming down, even if it's just a report. Because I feel like we have had that on a couple of future dated items, but never in a specific date of a meeting for the past like couple of meetings. So it would be good to firm up when we're going to get that report with that list and then some information about spending down that money. Because the balance is quite substantial, and as local government reorganisation starts to progress, we're going to need to have a really strong handle, aren't we, on our Section 106 responsibilities and paying down as much of that as we possibly can before we're then combined or allocated or whatever is going to happen to us as a borough council when local government reorganisation happens. So I feel like the sooner that comes to us,
so what you're asking, for a Section 106 on every meeting, yeah?
A standing item, and if there is no further updates and if no further progress has been made, so be it, but at least we are aware of progress being made meeting to meeting. That would be my suggestion.
Mr. Chair, through your chair, we were promised at various scrutiny committees that there would be a quarterly report or twice a year report on Section 106 money by ward and by the planning application that generated that money. and it's never happened.
Can we put this on the next agenda, please? So it will happen then, because if it's on the agenda, and I'm sure that Emma will be watching with bated breath for it to go on the agenda. Okay, right. Well, so no. Yeah, but it has come from this committee. It's a matter of process, which is what we are supposed to be doing. And the process at the moment is there is a dearth of information. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So on the next meeting, transformation. I think that is presumably all encompassing.
Yeah, I think all of those ones that follow kind of need to be taken all together. As I said, I'll give you an update in September as to where we're at, and then we can formulate a view from there as to what further engagement the committee wants to have with that. So we'll continue with the local one, but the organisational update, it just depends on taking transformation alongside that.
Just to check, Mark, sorry. Because obviously that will be, the September meeting will be just prior to us putting our final submissions, because that's the November deadline, isn't it? So will the kind of January meeting update kind of be like, if we've heard anything back from that, we'll obviously have an update, won't we, from central government, or we may well have anything that was changed between what was submitted to resources and ended up going as a final submission from the council. We might end up having some updates on that, but probably not much more. I'd be astonished if we heard back from central government by the time of our January meeting, but you never know. Is that what you're envisaging when you're kind of bringing us the updates, that sort of idea, or is it also work happening in the background?
I think once we get past the submission date, I don't think we've got a clear. I think it's probably going to be around May, isn't it, before we hear the feedback?
Yeah.
We might hear other things we don't really know yet.
Can I bring the cabinet member in for
Chairman, just a word about the December meeting. That's usually quite a heavy one, isn't it? Because we've got the general fund revenue budget and capital program and the fees and charges review.
Yeah.
And that usually
January, not December. Just say that's January meeting.
Sorry, yes, it's a January one. Sorry.
Yeah, so I think
to look forward to after Christmas.
Oh, well, I always do.
I think this is
hear anything from the government quite frankly. I think by all means put it on the back burner. If it just suddenly appears, and you can always sort of ask the chairman to put it in, but I can't see it happening.
I think it is important that we ask the questions though, because otherwise we end up being tail end Charlie. So synergy between Cannock Chase District Council and Stafford Borough Council, shared services, what's happening or not happening? And
that's all tied up with kind of our own quandary at the moment around local government, the organisation, about whether we press ahead with the plans that we have, whether we modify them or what we do. So that's the bit we're looking at. We've done a temporary pause on it whilst we're sort of gearing up to understand the work and deliver the work streams that support the submission for local government reorganisation. But we are increasingly kind of turning back our attention as well to shared services to look at what we may or may not do. We've had a discussion as a leadership team, and all heads of services are currently looking at their areas to take a view on the things that they still think we need to prioritise and press ahead with, and the things that we possibly just wait and see, because we don't want to waste time, effort and money on doing things that actually won't deliver any value in the next 2 to 3 years, and we'll actually have to all be redone as part of local government. So we're working away from that.
So you will be discussed when you look discuss transformation and local government organisation, that you will also be looking at that shared services, because we've put a lot of, as a council, a lot of time and effort into that. And I'd like to know whether it just finishes or how we sort of disentangle ourselves if we need to.
That would be challenging, if we don't end up in the same group, or if we get split, or the rest of us split our accounts, then it will take us a long time to pull apart the shared service if we don't end up in the same place. And even if we do, it's going to be very complicated changing it. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Take us a couple of years.
But as I said earlier, this reorganisation sounds really pretty and useful, but if you actually work out the fact that there are this 8 district councils, 1 city council possibly, 1 county council, shared responsibilities, unshared responsibilities, waste, it's going to be interesting times. So is the committee happy with what we've been told already about how information is going to be disseminated to us?
Yeah.
Okay. So can we ensure that goes on the agenda as well for us, the next meeting? I think
it would be one comprehensive update that puts
yeah.
Like
okay.
Transformation.
And Chris, what was your rabbit?
So we're starting off a new project with the council tax business rates. So we set up a new team that we're funding, and we're staffing up with new resource, and we're going to start working back through all of our debt arrears and all of our outstanding debts that are currently held in council tax and business rates. So I know that we've come along, have people worry about us, and our arrears in the press, and our members are concerned about write-offs and what have you. So we're starting off this new project, new team, and we're going to start going back through it all to try and collect it all. I think it would be useful for you guys to have oversight of that, because it is a brand new thing. We're doing it for 12 months initially. We're funding it from a reserve which has been set aside for this project. We can report back on our collection rates, our success rates. I think it's also worth bearing in mind there might be some pushback around this, because a lot of people that haven't been chased in a while, and all these arrears, they're going to start being chased as we start trying to collect it. So I think it's only appropriate the members are aware that we're doing this as well. So we're taking action in line with what we've been asked to do. We are going to start looking to clear all of that down one way or the other. So there'll be a degree of write-off naturally, but not to anyone who has a bottom line, we want to make provision for them within the accounts. But anything we collect that was outstanding is effectively a windfall and diverted commas to the authority. So I think that's probably something you should probably be aware of and start to look at.
Do we put this on the work programme?
Sure. What we were thinking of is that we'd set a task and finish group for that one. So because that would probably take several meetings to work through that, and we can do that at a different pace to the formal meetings if we're able to do it outside of that.
Okay. And when do you expect us to start this task and finish? Because I think it's a good idea to some of the... And I know what you're saying, when we're presented with a long list of debtors and it doesn't feel right, it's taxpayers' money, residents' money, it's a residents' pound that's not being collected. It will be interesting to find out how you do this.
I do want to stress we'll be empathetic, we'll follow the usual processes, it's not going to be heavy-handed when we do it, so that must make that very clear up front as well, so it will just be the pushback, people being chased. I think sooner rather than later, as we're already starting to put the team together on this one, I'd like it to get going quite quickly. So if you're supportive, that's what we'd like to do.
I'd like to ask something about that, because when we see these write-offs, you see that some individuals have got a substantial amount for 1 year, then a substantial amount the following year, and this can go on for 3 or 4 years, adding up to a considerable amount of money. Will this new team prevent that happening, and after the first year, an individual will not be allowed to accrue a debt the following year?
So this first year, it will be data gathering, we'll be understanding our populace and our base. With those ones, if we get arrangements in place where they're paying bits of it off and what have you, we don't want to push people into penury or into difficulties. But in theory, it will stop that happening, we'll understand them better, we'll be able to intervene earlier, point them towards the right mechanisms to get the help they need. We run a number of schemes, so we need to get them onto those as soon as we can as well. So it is about serving the populace better and enabling them to campaign to pay us.
I'm talking more of the business rate than the domestic rates,
so
because they are huge amounts of money.
Within the letter of the law again, because the system doesn't necessarily serve us. You can fold your company and what have you, it's very difficult. You can do that at a moment's notice and start another one. But within the letter of the law, yes, we will be looking to push those as far as we can.
Okay.
I was going to say the same about the business rates, because some of them do it intentionally, don't they? They accrue debt in one business. Do they register the next business in another name? Do you not, you're not able to track that in any way, no?
Office is a separate limited company because of
that. Because there was one business, wasn't there, that sort of, I don't know what sort of name then, but he moved around the town with his business and didn't pay any business rates in three places, I think it was.
So that's when you start to look to have people struck off as directors or stop them owning companies, but you can open in someone else's name, if you've got family members or a wife. But yes, we will look to do what we can with the law, but we can't stop people owning companies or having their service struck off. There's a number of protections around that.
I'm sorry, I want to come back to this though, because we've seen examples of the same business,
yeah,
at the same address accruing a debt year upon year upon year till it adds up to like £70,000. That's what I mean. Will this stop that happening? If that company hasn't paid that first year, are you going to allow them to accrue a second year's debt and then a third year's debt?
So I think this is why the group will be helpful, so you'll see why this can happen. So if they're paying a chunk of it, or they start to pay it down, what have you, you might see an element left behind, but they pay off the majority. It looks a large amount, but if they have a large square footage, they might pay a substantial amount still, and that is better. We have to also consider, we don't want to just cause all these businesses to collapse. The first year, it's very hard to trade for businesses more often than not. We have to walk that tightrope, as it were, otherwise the town centre might end up quite derelict. So as part of this town, this group, you'll see some of those decisions that we're making and why we're making them at the time, and you can play into that as well. So we could go extremely hard, straight off in all these companies. You would see a huge amount of businesses folding in that first year, and you have a much greater vacancy rate, a higher unemployment rate. We have to walk a line as a council to try and encourage the economy while collecting those debts. So I think the groups that you can see when we're making those decisions and understand why, yes. But when it's inappropriate, yeah, absolutely, we should be collecting it. And I would like to stop it too. I have to sign it.
Well, when we see the accounts, we only see the debt that's not paid. Couldn't we see what debt they have paid off as well?
The amount of information we'll be presenting, what have you, to these. But I think the group, once you understand what we're doing and what it's like to make
yeah.
Okay, so you guys will tell us when we're ready to. So, Ian.
I was just going to check on the procedure. So, you're going to bring a scoping document to the September, or would you like to start it before September?
We'll probably start before. We'll work up the scoping document before then.
Right, so if you want to set up the task and finish at this meeting, so you can include all members if you wish. Part of the task and finish group, that's what we wanted to do.
So do members have to email just to confirm they want to be on it, or?
You can do it that way, or you can ask that it's open to all members if they wish to come. It'll be an informal meeting, we'll send the meeting invites out to those who can attend. If you open the membership up to the whole of the scrutiny committee, that gives you the ability to attend if you wish.
Okay, so we've got all members here and substitutes for members. Does anyone disagree with the starting a task and finish?
No.
Does who wants to join it?
Well, I do.
Shall
Lisa
wants to do it?
Can it be as suggested that we are all invited?
Sorry?
Can it be suggested that we're all invited?
Yeah. So initially, the committee that's here tonight have said they'd like to come along. Could you send an email out to invite members just formally as well, please?
When do you want to have your first meeting?
Well, the first meeting you'll have to liaise with.
Sort the scoping documents out and then get the first meeting sorted after that.
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure the start time is 18:30, not earlier.
Yes.
Okay. Well, unless anyone else has got, we've sort of furnished the work programme really well, and I think important things that we need to talk about is.
Sorry, Chair, there is one thing. Listening to everybody talk about timescales and the programme and things, I the reserve, going back to requesting information about the fire risk assessment, but could we put a date on having a response from them initially, rather than just say respond to us?
Yeah, 5 working days.
Stop smiling.
It's reasonable though to even
oh, something
response, isn't it?
Just the initial response.
Yeah, an initial response
to this date.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could just find that we don't hear anything until.
Don't need a comprehensive list in that time. Just
yes. Yes. Sorry, I did sort of. Say five. It is perhaps not for me to just say that, but I think that would be reasonable.
I think that's fine.
Waiting for a response.
Okay. So thank you all very much for attending. It's been a very good meeting. Thank you.